Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to the National Obsession, a National League football podcast with me, Charlie Baker, and John Cadogan. Yes, John.
Wagwan.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that, John.
What?
If I'm honest, Wagwan.
Okay.
Look, you choose your own.
That's not the hill I'm going to die on. If you don't want me to say it, I won't say it.
You say it, John. You say it.
Okay.
An interesting start to the podcast. To the booze letter.
To the booze letter.
We're a bit giddy, aren't we, John? Which people will find out about. We'll find out a bit later on.
Well, we'll tell you what's coming up on the podcast in a minute.
We will any minute now, John.
But, hey, look, it's the special fireworks night edition of the podcast.
I always forget
well
about
clear.
This. I forget that you
say,
love it to be themed.
Do not return to a lit podcast. Retreat 8 meters.
I always forget you love it to be themed. Last week, I didn't really play along with the Halloween last week.
Yeah, but why not? Why not? We've got to inject some fun into our miserable lives at the moment.
Oh, gosh. Speak for yourself, John. Yeah. I'm having a whale of a time on catching bike. cycling my bike.
Where does fishing stand in the lockdown? Can you fish?
It's fine, John.
Is it?
Think who's in charge of the country, John, and what do they like?
Hunting.
Hunting and fishing, don't they, John?
They like fishing. Yeah,
they
suppose
love fishing, yeah.
It counts as
hunting, yeah. So there we are. I think the squash club might shut, but there we are. That's, you know, we've all got to make sacrifices.
We have. We've got to make a lot of sacrifices.
As long as they don't shut the football season down, John.
Can you imagine? I mean, let's face it. The clocks have gone back. The season's only just begun.
It would be so talking United.
7 games,
it would be
5 points clear.
So Torquay United to have lost once and be absolutely flying, playing the best football we've ever played.
Probably our best ever start to a season.
And just playing like brilliantly. I can't see where we're going to lose two on the trot. You know, just absolutely brilliant. And then, the strike it lucky noise. Stopped.
Yeah.
Locked down.
The thought has crossed my mind.
Would be so talky.
It must keep going on.
Government have given us 3 months' money, haven't they?
Yeah, and we should all forget about the idea of attending games this season.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you know someone from the FA.
one of your best friends is on the FA Council. Which I could send Tom Greatrex out, perhaps, to other
girls. That's the highest bidder. And as long as there's no crowd, I don't see why we can't keep going.
As I tweeted
just,
this
apart
week,
from
John,
money.
I know you enjoyed this tweet, which was perhaps going every week and shouting bloody hell at Torquay United wasn't the best thing to do.
Perhaps that wasn't the answer.
Perhaps that isn't positive.
Getting on whoever's playing on the wings back the whole game.
Just
Pass it, Namain. Namain, bloody pass it, man.
Oh, I love Namain. I love Namain.
You can imagine the pop side. That's why Namain's been so good this season. He hasn't got, you know, John Bartlett on the pop side.
Not at all.
Getting stuck
podcast.
Into him. No.
Sort of is at the moment, though. Sorry about that, but you have to say we'll talk about it.
We'll come to it in the news. Shall we?
Tell us what's coming up on the Pooh's Letter, John.
I'm coming up, so we better get this podcast started.
Coming up, so we better get this podcast started. He's coming up. He's coming. Come on then, John.
Dame Shirley Bassey version. on this week's podcast, we've got lots of news. Actually, we haven't got lots of news. We've got some news. Some news will be happening.
It's slightly truncated this week, isn't it, John? Because it's the FA Cup at the weekend.
It's FA Cup. And we want to leave room for... A big interview.
It's like proper big interview, isn't it?
It is a big interview.
It's not so big that we've crashed into a fire hydrant at Reading Services. It's not Hobbycraft big.
No,
John.
But it's getting there, isn't it? And I feel
the
like
last time we did something similar, it did cause the end of the world. So we thought we'd just back off a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we can. Maybe we can bookend. The beginning of the end of the world and the end of the pandemic, basically.
Let's see.
Anyway, we've got a big interview. Do you want to say who it is?
No, John.
No?
Okay. Well, you'll probably put it on Twitter, so people know who it is.
Yeah.
We're talking to everybody's favourite...
Number 34.
Gary Warren.
Oh.
No, Ben Whitfield.
Ben Whitfield. Lovely. Gary?
Popping in with a goal.
Dawlish. Let's see how everyone's nicked that now. I think you came up with it first. Everyone's nicked it.
I said it first. I mean, it's just the way it goes, and we're used to that.
We are very used to that.
Absolutely fine.
And we got lots of lovely letters from you as well.
Really?
Have we, John? Come through again. The FOFs deliver.
And we're recording very tight to when we last recorded. So, goodness me, they've been busy at the weekend.
I know, they are busy.
Might get even more on lockdown unless everyone gets clinically depressed again.
Let's hope not, eh? It's a month. We can do this.
Yeah, we can do this, John. We can do this. Right then, what news you got?
So on Saturday, let's go back to Saturday. Start with Bromley 1, Eastleigh 2. Ben House scored twice.
Ben House.
Play or Brick House. Ben diddly
House. Ow. He's mighty, mighty. Letting it all hang out.
Lovely old. Yeah, Ben House. Very nice. 64. 41. 22.
That's how many appearances.
Yes.
That's how you could do it. 64 appearances for Eastleigh.
Yeah, and then the number of sub-appearances. 64, 21, 34 goals. Yeah. Kind of works, doesn't it?
Lovely, yeah.
He looks good, actually. He looked good against Torquay as well, and he scored twice in the weekend.
Like Cheeky Candy.
Mm.
Because we are watching the games.
Yes.
This is the strangest thing, is that we're actually seeing the games.
I watched all the highlights from this week because I had nothing else to do.
It's actually better in many ways.
It was Dover 0, Altrincham 1. Terrible result for Dover.
Terrible.
Against bottom of the table. Altrincham.
Really
poor.
They might get out of it, Altrincham.
Ever since Dame Vera left us, a curse has descended upon Dover, I think.
John, we didn't say that, did we? She pulled out.
So they said the code word, Bluebirds over.
Left early.
Bluebirds over.
Over. That's Barrow, though, isn't it? Of course.
Result of the weekend. Kings Lynn 3, Woking 2.
Get in, Kings Lynn. Come
beautiful.
On, you Linnets.
The Linnets.
We haven't heard from Lynn King. I wonder if she's still alive, John.
I didn't want to broach it, but I thought...
Since the COVID came, man, wonder if Lynn
bad
King.
News?
Wonder if Lynn King's come down with the COVID.
Yeah,
be terrible. We've not heard from her. Lynn, if you're listening,
she's all right.
If only there was a business website, we could get hold of her on.
I had a look. She's not posted any sort of, you know, the way people do on LinkedIn, sort of motivational quotes of the day. Sort
Never
of
been
thing.
On it, John. Never had a proper job, so...
Well, you've got literally no need to be on LinkedIn.
Literally zero need to be on LinkedIn, but I would go on it for Lynn King.
Yeah, no, people do these sort of business, clichéd business,
okay, nice.
Motivational, you know, like thought for the day, go out and grab the day by the horns, etc.
Oh, and she's grab not the day by the horns. I can imagine Lynn King saying
she's
that.
Not posted anything like
she,
that recently.
She just says, grab the day by the linnets.
Right by the linnets.
A good grab of the old linnets. Oh, I'd love to hear from her again. It's such a shame.
It's a shame. But anyway, our thoughts are with you, Lynn. But yeah, they went ahead 1-0. Wokingham turned it around 2-1. But then Jamar Lozier, formerly of Wokingham, scored 2 goals in the last 10 minutes. Won it for Kings Lynn. Get in.
Da, 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 da. You're a Lozier, baby.
Maidenhead 3, Solihull Moors 1. What the hell is going on at Solihull Moors? Maidenhead have picked up a bit, though.
Yes.
Sam Barrett scored a hat-trick.
Listen, everyone beating everyone else is so good for us.
Really nice. 3 out of the 4 goals in the game are penalties as well.
That's nice, fun fact. John.
Nice
lovely
fact.
Fun fact.
Yeah. That doesn't take us anywhere.
No, just, that was
true.
It. It's just true. Hold on a minute. The damn dog. Leave this in. The damn dog hates this podcast so much. I think it's because he can only hear my side of it.
Oh.
Can you hear him?
Trying to open the door. Yeah.
He only hears my side of it. He's obviously a Cadogan fan.
You can blame him. He's only human.
Right, go on. He's not human.
Well, yes, yeah, that's a very good point.
By his very...
No, that's a very, very good point. Stockport 1, Weymouth 2. Weymouth came from behind to win. Tom Whelan scored the winner in the 85th minute.
You said that very straight, like what? Without any sort of joy in your voice. Yes, of course, Weymouth came back to beat... huge rivals,
I mean, that
Stockport,
was, yeah, that's
who
true.
Have said they are going to piss
Maybe
the league.
Didn't give that the gravitas it deserves. Should I do it again?
No, just keep as it is, John.
Yeah,
John, but remember, you know, Weymouth are not flying, and Stockport have told everyone,
beautiful.
"Oh, we're gonna walk the league."
Well, I was trying. I think the reason I said it, sir, so I was looking for the picture you sent me of the triple substitution that Stockport
yes.
made: 69-minute substitution, 76 substitution, 76 substitution, 81 goal. Weymouth 2-1, beautiful.
And who was the first substitution in that?
Louis dog? Britton.
Boo!
What a turncoat!
Hate Britton. We hate Britton.
Like I loved him, and now I hate him.
Britton's not got talent.
Has anyone ever made such a sort of fleeting impact
in the bay?
He
in
came
the
on, bin. Hit the bar. Everyone loved him. Scrambled all over the line. Everyone loved him. Gone back. Everyone hates him.
Listen, I reckon
maybe
he's
everyone
just,
doesn't
I reckon
hate
he annoyed
him,
but... Gary. I reckon he annoyed
no,
Gary.
It's just because he signed the other lad, isn't it? He didn't need them both. Bristol City
Billy
wanted
Waters.
Him to play, probably, I assume. Also liked in the Weymouth team, of the lineup that you sent me, Camp plays for Weymouth, substituted by Leslie Smith, which sounds like his nickname.
Camp
Leslie Smith.
Lovely.
Camp Leslie Smith.
Lovely. Working man's club in the 70s. Yeah. He had an act. Camp Leslie Smith. Ladies oh, hello,
gentlemen.
Dears.
Ladies and gentlemen, Camp Leslie Smith.
Oh, hello. Oh, you're looking at me, dear. Mm. You're a nice boy. Got big hands for a welder. That sort of thing, John.
Yeah, all that sort of malarkey.
Camp Leslie Smith.
Yeovil 0, Chesterfield 1. We have a little bit of trouble. We have a little bit. We have a little bit of blooming luck. Finally, a little bit of blooming luck for John Pemberton. Tom Denton scored the only goal in a low-quality affair. Yeovil, what the hell's going on?
Jeez, I don't want them to go out the division, but it would be quite funny.
It would be quite funny.
Yeah.
It would be very funny, actually. Mm. And obviously, the actual result of the weekend, Hartlepool 0, Torquay 5, get in.
World-stopping, John. Everyone looked at that and went, and it was amazing, because like, oh, even on BT Sport, they were like, oh, well, Torquay have had a, you know, quite a lucky start
to the
season.
And they did try and build us up as we've had, a bit of luck. Are we that good?
You know,
smashing 5-0.
I know, it's 5-0, mate. 3-0 straight away, easy peasy.
Yeah.
Just and then even, I absolutely love, there's loads of things I loved about it. Here's some of the things. Coverlan having a shot.
Yes. Did you think, and I actually agreed with the co-commentator at that point, we perhaps got a little bit carried away.
No, I was 100% there. I am a Coverlan stand account.
I didn't think
the fact that he had a shot was absolutely beautiful.
An awful lot of respect. That.
Zero respect. I just loved how we played every single time we went forward. They had one good player, Molyneux. He was good, wasn't he?
I loved Parkhouse. It was really terrible.
Awful.
Absolutely rubbish.
I'd like, John, you know we were doing
should we do Parkhouse? I
mean. Do some Parkhouse, John. Because I liked it. Every time he shot, it was like dragged horribly wide.
And then
miles
he just
over the bar.
Put one over the top of the stand. Parkhouse!
And it's Molyneux on the ball. He's beaten three players. He's passed it into the box. Parkhouse.
He yeah. was hopeless. Just they ran around aimlessly.
It didn't look good. But I think this is the thing. A lot of people are saying, oh, we didn't play well against Torquay. But we are playing so well that you can't play.
No.
They can't play.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. We will come on to Torquay more with our special guest in just a moment's time.
And Fair to be said. It's fair to be said. We set sail tonight. Fair to be said,
odd
John.
Pirates.
But what an unbelievable start to the season. It's just, what a result. To do it live on the telly in front of everyone. To have Danny Wright score a perfect hat-trick, left foot, right foot, header. You watched it as well, John, despite internet telling you not to.
I watched it. I do you know what clinched it for me? Well, look, maybe we'll come to this in letters from a listener, but there was a tweet.
Fair to be said, though, John.
I'll come to it in letters from a listener. And Boreham Wood, Dagenham, Halifax, Wealdstone, Wrexham, Sutton, postponed. COVID. Goodunsh.
Oh, ish. COVID.
COVID. That's the sound of it.
Okay. Why was it off? There we are. Is that all the news, John?
That's the news, isn't it?
This is the National Obsession, it's fair to be said.
The National Obsession.
You're listening to the National Obsession. And now, some players come to clubs sometimes and they bring the energy with them that drives a team on with the very force of their energy and their personality. And our guest today really did that last season from his first game at Woking when I think he scored at the back post with a little low down header. Not sure how many headers he scores. We'll ask him in a minute. It is a thrill to have on the podcast, isn't it, John? It is a thrill to have Ben Whitfield. Hello, Ben.
Hello, hi.
Very, very good. Thanks so much for joining us on the National Obsession. Could you please say on the ice?
On the ice.
Ah, yes. Very, very good. And we'll take out the bit where I asked you to say it. We'll make it sound like you knew that was a thing. Oh, first of all, what a brilliant season so far. Can you believe it?
No, but yes as well. Obviously, the squad we've got, I'd expect nothing less. The recruitment this season has been exactly what, obviously, I think we needed. At this moment in time, it's proven to have done the job, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I look at the bench, I look at the whole squad, look at the people we've got in on loan, there's no weak link. I can't see. John and I were saying last week, weren't we, John? There's just no weak link at the moment. You must feel that in training.
Yeah, it's what you want, I think. Everyone in training is battling hard, and you can see there's competition in every single position. I don't think there's really a position where no one can't play or fill in somewhere, which last season we obviously struggled with.
Yeah.
And I think this season now is just the strength in depth is very, very good.
Yeah.
It must have been a bit of a weird pre-season with everything going on. No one really knew when the season was starting. I'm sure Gary would admit he probably didn't have as many pre-season games as he liked. Did it sort of... Were you a bit surprised by how we've hit the ground running, considering everything that's going on?
Yeah, no. Again, I think with obviously the virus going around, etc., it's adapting to that with no fans has been difficult. But I think one we've actually taken to quite well. And the injuries we had pre-season, when obviously we brought the new signings in, and a couple of them got injured. A few of our lads were still already injured. So we were playing people out of position already in pre-season. So when the first game of the season popped up and we saw we were playing Stockport, who were obviously one of the league favourites, as much as we're all raring to go, you have to say, obviously, it's a tough game. You knew you were in for a tough game straight away. But you have to look at that performance we gave on the opening day and think everything we've done in pre-season has worked wonders, and we've done everything correct and prepared for it properly, and we got the result we deserved.
Yeah, you all look really fit, actually. That's one of the main things you do look well. And you were saying the other day, it's the first time you've had a proper pre-season as a grown-up player.
Yeah, obviously, I was at Bournemouth for a while, and knowing you were never... Well, I was never really part of the first team to have that pre-season, knowing I was going to, I was part of the pre-season, but knowing I was never going to be involved with that first team throughout that season.
Yeah.
So it was different for me. So this is the first, and I joined on loan at every club I've been at later on in August. So the pre-season had already gone.
Mm-hmm.
So this pre-season is the first time I've been at a club from day one, gone from the first session right the way through, knowing I'm going to be a part of the squad.
Yeah.
And yeah, one I've really enjoyed.
Something interesting on Twitter the other night, which was, I can't remember who we'd beaten, but we'd gone top of the league and we went top of the league till 5:30. You tweeted top of the league or something, and your dad, so it was really interesting, I thought, because your dad, Mick, sort of stepped in, and it felt like a little clip round the ear of, it only matters where you are on the last day of the season, is what he said. And I just wanted to take, I just wanted to take you back to when you were a kid. What sort of dad was he, and how did you, because you must have been, as a lad, absolutely brilliant, brilliant player.
Yeah, my dad's obviously been there since day one. When I was around 6, 7, I had quite a few teams looking at me. I still played for my club, my little town, Myrtle Park. And I had quite a few clubs looking at me. And I was training with a different club every night of the week.
Yeah.
And my dad actually got told at work, like, if you carry on doing this, you probably will lose your job. And he carried on doing it, taking me everywhere. He didn't end up losing his job, but it just showed that now, later on in life, when I've remembered that story, just like the sacrifices that were made from him, is I'm just happy I've kind of repaid him in obviously what's happening now. And yeah, it puts a smile on his face as well, I think.
Yeah. Was it Bradford you started?
Yeah, Bradford, yeah. Yeah, I signed there when I was, I think, 6 or 7 and was there for 10 years. Obviously, I was a big Bradford fan. My dad was a massive Bradford fan. He was in the Bradford Fire.
Right.
So ever since growing up, all I've known is Bradford. And
yeah,
when Bradford obviously said they wanted to sign you, I thought it was the best day ever. Yeah. So getting released from them was obviously a kick in the teeth, but it's one of them where I think it defines you as a person at that age, whether you quit or go on and stick at it, because you go to these release trials and something might pop up, something might not pop up. Nothing did pop up for me. I ended up signing for Guys. It was a last minute thing for their first ever academy like trial thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite lucky in that respect. But yeah, like you say, you get asked a lot when you're quite younger, and it is tough on you, but it's one that when you look back on now and you think it was well worth it.
And you have had a few clubs, and you have made decisions, haven't you, to leave places, and looking at your history. And I think you can see, actually, I don't know if that's your dad sort of in you or guiding you or what, but you can see the way you play is you just love playing.
Yeah, it's what every footballer wants to do, isn't it? Any attacker loves scoring goals. They love running up players and making the fans get off the chair. And, yeah, you know, it's what an attacker wants to play like and wants to be like. I've been like that my whole career. Always loved the ball on my feet. Always loved running at people, scoring goals. Like you say, sometimes you don't get the recognition, but that's where you want it. That's when you've got to have the desire to do more and prove yourself more so you do get the recognition. I can't, obviously, as soon as I come to Torquay, the fans have been the best they've had at any club. They've took me under their wing as such straight away. And
But if you score against
that
Woking,
will happen.
You know, it's gonna happen.
And I didn't realise that till after the game.
That's a new rivalry. It's a very new rivalry. Just ask Ben Winter about it. He's the one. And Danny Wright turning up as well. He said something Saturday, which was they asked him a question about why he was playing so well, and he said, "Well, the manager's playing me," and I didn't know if that, which has obviously been a bugbear his whole life. If he doesn't get played, he's not going to score goals. So I don't know if you feel this sort of kindred spirit with him there. He seems to have a good relationship.
100%. He's been like brilliant with me. He's been definitely the best manager I've worked under regarding man management. I think I've said it before. It's more of the fact that if you have one bad game, he's stuck with me, knowing that I can do more and be better. He's told me I need to do more and be better, but he hasn't dropped me, and that helped me massively, because I've had one bad game at other clubs, and that's it. I hadn't seen the pitch again for 3 weeks, and then you have to build yourself back up and get back in a team and hit the ground running straight away, which is never easy. But knowing he's had the faith in me to produce my best week in, week out, even if I have had 1, 2, 3 bad games on the trot, to still go out there and have the confidence in me to produce my best game week in, week out has been massive, yeah.
I think one of the reasons I really kind of identified you as a player is I'm a fellow man of 5'6". And I think...
I'm 5'7".
Come on. Come on, Ben. But yeah, I think, I wonder if you've got...
And a half, as well.
I wonder if you had like the same thing that I did. So I'm both growing up and I suppose as an adult, when you line up on the sports pitch, I always got the feeling that there's some opponents that aren't taking you seriously. They look at you, you know, being quite short and they think, oh, you know, what's he about? Did you get that real satisfaction from kind of proving people wrong? I mean, I didn't have the talent to prove people wrong, but you do.
Yeah, more at a younger age, I think that was. By younger, I mean from 17 to 20 as such, because obviously I was still small. I was probably still developing as a player, like physical-wise. And when I went on my first loan to Kidderminster, I think people did look at me in that way. It was my first proper games in the men's leagues, in the conference, and I was 5'7½". people might not have taken it very serious, looking at me thinking, oh, I just nudge him off the ball, and that's how men think, isn't it? They just want to tackle you and smash you in that league, and that's it. So yeah, that was a good learning curve for me going there, because obviously I grew as a player and knew that, like you said, people look at you in that way, and you've just got to tear that to the back of your head and prove people wrong, really.
It must have been at the club. It must be about a year now, mustn't it? Pretty much bang on.
Bang on a year. I think it is over a year, yeah.
Because obviously you moved from quite a long way away. How did you find that move to Torquay to come all this way?
I think it was a lot easier than I thought from moving to Bournemouth when I was 17. So I've moved quite far already. At a young age, and I think if Torquay had been my first long move, I'd have found it harder than what I did. But I think it's been good. It's a nice area. Who doesn't love the South Coast? get a beach in Bradford, unfortunately.
They're not. I've been to Bradford actually. I've been to Bradford City a couple of times. Yeah, I've got a friend who's a Bradford fan. We went. Used to go a lot. The Jamie Lawrence and Robbie Blake years.
I've been to the film museum, if that's any use.
The film museum. Have you been there, Ben? Anyway,
You love the girls, don't you, Ben?
You love the girls. And thank you so much for joining us on the National Obsession. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. On the
ice. Ben.
Take care, mate.
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession. That was exciting. What a nice young man, John.
I love Ben Whitfield. New fave. Sorry, Liam.
New fave.
Sorry, Liam.
Poor Liam.
Until you get back out on that pitch, I'm Team Whitfield. It's because he's 5'6". He's not 5'7½". That's a lie.
It says 5'5" on Wikipedia.
He's no way.
It's very Danny Stevens.
The only way of settling this, Ben, if you're listening to it, is we'll come down to the bay and we'll still have to do a back-to-back photo evidence.
I can't wait to see that photo.
Prove it.
Just perhaps you could do it by one of the rides at Dawes Warren.
Just two very small people hoping we can go on a roller coaster.
You have to be this tall to go on this ride.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Ben, the gauntlet's thrown down.
Oh, fair to be said. He's an excellent player. Really is. Anyway, John, this part of the Pooh's letter is not to do with with Ben Whitfield.
No,
this is letters from a listener.
Thought we'd sing again this week.
Lovely to sing, thanks.
Listened back to it last week, realised it was an error.
Do you know what I mean? And it kicked into Letter from America.
I know,
it
I realised after that I cocked that up completely.
It felt underproduced.
Never knowingly underproduced. No, let's start the letters because we've got a couple again, a few to get through. We begin with Tom Rogers. Hello, Tom.
I don't think Tom's
contacted us before.
On the ice to him.
I think he has, but he hasn't got a foff. Anyway, he says, hello,
boys. Ben Whitfield say on the ice, unbidded.
Yeah, Tom. Just loves the pod, doesn't he?
Loves it.
Should we make him a foff?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We always forget to do that, don't we? We meant to give Jamie Reid a golden foff.
We did. Forgot to give him. We're going to give him foff 100.
Oh, God.
Forgot. I'd say we give Ben foff 34, but that's already taken unless Kelvin Applin wants to move.
Ooh. Kelvin, so up to you.
You get in touch. It's up to you, Kelvin. But we want to make Ben foff 34, so you could become foff 39. Anyway, let's crack on.
Come on, then.
Tom Rogers says, hello, boys. I was listening
hello,
to this
Tom.
Week's...
On the ice, Tom.
On the ice, Tom. I was listening to this week's edition of the Podketter.
No one knows what
it's
it is.
It's really confusing.
It's really good fun.
And I was intrigued by the conversation around the smallest sounding non-league clubs. Whilst Cray Valley Paper Mills does sound fairly diminutive, surely Mousel AFC is the smallest sounding club in non-league.
Ah, Mousel. We've heard from them before, haven't we?
I reckon your average paper mill is several times larger than a mousel. My memory seems to tell me that we heard from the chief mouse on the previous episode. We did. Heard. Anyway, just want to say cheers for the podcast. It makes me laugh and smile without fail. Keep up the good work. On the ice, in the bay, up the arse, Tommy Rogers.
Oh, Tom. Tommy. That's the sort of, that was old Camp
Leslie Smith.
Camp Leslie Smith.
Your sister,
that was his catchphrase.
We'd love to hear from the chief mouse.
On the ice, in the bay, up the arse. Off we go, dear.
Strike up the music. That's it.
We might hear from Camp Leslie
Camp
Smith
Leslie
in
Smith.
Future weeks.
Future weeks, I think so. Also, here's the thing. He signs off Tommy Rogers in Singapore.
Hey.
How about that?
Goodness me.
Can we beat Singapore in terms of the furthest flung listener?
Did you just call him, you called him Tommy Wilson and then you called him Tommy Rogers? What is his name, John?
It's Tommy Rogers. Did I say Tommy Wilson?
One Tommy Rogers. Tommy Rogers. Well, what a lovely start. What he's done there, John, in his letter, he's shown that he's has a full and encyclopedic knowledge of the National Obsession podcast.
Lovely.
Well on the way to becoming a foff, Tom.
Yes, very much so. If you can beat Singapore in terms of furthest flung foff, nationalobsession@gmail.com or natofpod.
Sounds like one of Camp Leslie Smith's friends. Well, I was hanging around with Singapore foff. Anyway, in the bay.
here we go. Andy Charles sends us an email.
Good
old Andy says, hi, Charlie and John. You just knew I would jump at the bait, but it would be too disappointing to talk about team names without a bleep-free Deportivo Wanker, the South American team. Really
that
lovely.
Can't be true.
He also says that there's a posh Midlands derby between Boldmere St Michael's and Graham St Prim's.
There's another friend.
Lovely.
Camp Leslie. Graham's I was hanging around with Graham St Prim's.
But if you want team names, he says, and our correspondent from Glasgow last week didn't even pick one from the top 10. Bit of inter-foff beef. You have to go to Scotland. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy.
Gosh, that sounds good.
Inverurie Loco Works. That's a good one. Yeah. The Civil Service Strollers.
Oh, that's nice. But where do these could just be Sunday league sides.
Dundonald Bluebell, Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale. Something like that's a firm of solicitors, isn't it? Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale.
A train line. We stop at Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale, ending up in... I can't think of anyone.
But for me, he says, there is no doubting the best team name, Keith. Is there just a team called Keith?
Oh, that's
lovely.
Well,
according to Andy, there is.
He says, a great one.
I just want them to go out and sign a load of South Americans. You can imagine their match day announcer giving out the lineup. And now, starting for Keith, Alison, Fred, Bernard, Oscar,
yes,
Lucas.
That's
you get the idea. Keep up the good work.
Or only players
Andy.
Called Keith.
Yeah. Birkinshaw. That's it, isn't it? No one knows
Andrew. Andrew.
Keith Andrews. Andrew. Yeah.
That's it. So we've got.
No,
famous favourite players called Keith.
Keith Curl. Of course, Keith Curl.
Yeah. Talkie's own.
There we are. Not at all.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank
on the
you,
ice
Andy.
To you.
always a very reliable froth, Andy. And finally, a new correspondent, Celia Haywood.
Hey, Celia, on
she
the ice
says,
to you.
Now we're facing another lockdown. Is it in the rules not to mention Clive or Matty Haywood on your Not Talking United-related podcast?
This is nice.
Because I'd like to bring to your attention that there are two other members of the Haywood family who are also yellows. Me, Celia, Clive's better half and Matty's mum, and the youngest and tallest, Zach, Matty's brother. I like listening to your podcast as I've been a fan long before Matty was born. I think she means a fan of Talking, not a fan, yes. fan of the podcast. Well, what do you mean, again? Three or four years, Celia?
Celia.
Keep up
and
the good
Zach.
Work. Celia.
Oh, that, hey, Celia, Celia, on the ice to you, Celia.
Yeah.
And Zach, there he is, taller, more handsome than Matty.
It's always annoying when your younger brother is, my younger brother's taller than me. It's a frustration. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Got a lot about my height in this
episode. Is that what you played? It's very height, very height-based.
Fair
to be said, John. Clung on to the height situation.
Yeah, a lot of my insecurities come flooding out when I'm in the presence of Ben Whitfield.
Yeah, standing in the presence of Ben Whitfield is a lovely, lovely song from the mid-80s.
The old Grey Whistle Test.
There it is.
Standing in the presence of Ben Whitfield by the brilliant Charlie Daniels Band.
Anyway, Celia. Yeah. Celia Haywood. Thank you so much for the letter. Wonder who Celia's favourite player is. I wonder what her favourite period of Torquay United is. I wonder if she could tell us a couple of games she's been to that really stick long into her memory.
Mm, well,
that's the sort of thing I'd be interested in.
nationalobsession@gmail.com, Celia. Yes. And that's it. That's all your letters. Thank you very much.
That's all the letters. And on that, John, you can hear the dog trying to get back in.
I think that means
that
it's
means
time
the end of the
go.
Podcast. It is Bruce.
We must go. Bruce.
Bruce, he really...
Bruce
hey,
has signaled
come by,
the end.
Come by. thank you so much for all your letters. We, as ever, hugely, fair to be said.
Fair to be said.
We really appreciate them. And you can get in touch with us on the Twitter at NatObsPod.
Yes.
And the email, John.
The email is nationalobsession@gmail.com. We want your furthest flung foffs, please.
Lovely. FA Cup of the weekend. So no National League. Well, there will be some, but none involving Torquay, which shouldn't affect us, John, but for some reason, it does. There we are.
Anyway, we will
be
back.
Ice.
On the ice.
The National Obsession with John Callaghan and Charlie Baker.